is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think.
Chapter 36, Search and Rescue. Beginning next mission stage. The Demonic Alliance Invasion, Part 3, King of Kings. Mission objective, find Luo Bingha and see him exit the Immortal Alliance Conference.
The greatest advantage to being left behind and being put in charge of the communications and observation networks, besides being kept out of the raging battle that used to be the Immortal Alliance Conference, is that Shang Chenghua gets an eagle-eye view of the whole situation. Sure, sometimes the crystal-eyed eagles go black because they've just been eaten by one of the monsters, or shot out of the sky by Qian Jun, or one of her followers, or, as far as Shang Chenghua can fucking tell, simply overwhelmed by the clash of OP spiritual energy meeting OP demonic energy to the point where they just give up and melt. Which is super relatable. But the view is still pretty good. He's in the loop. If he wasn't, he'd probably be losing it completely. Well, he's still kind of losing it right now. Bit by bit, drop by drop. But if he was left totally in the dark here, his mind would be going much faster. There are, or, were, the 200 crystal-eyed eagles flying across the hunting grounds on spiritual wires. But there's also about 200 more out there, a couple crystal-eyed eagles at each emergency shelter, one on the inside and one on the outside, and a couple at each watchtower. That's how they originally watched the disciples enter the hunting grounds. The observation screens were prioritizing the action before, of course. Not stuff like some poor monster brought in for the hunt by the sects, repeatedly zapping themselves on the barrier all the way out by Watchtower 39 on the northwest corner. It's good to have a solid view of the shelters and the watchtowers. Huanhua Palace Sect's annoying, obscene wealth is really working in their favor. They can see the wide-eyed, occasionally bleeding disciples filing into the shelters, bunkering down, and Mu Qingfang's people and other healers there to treat their injuries. They can see the cultivator stationed there making it too much trouble for the starving monsters to push forward. They can see reinforcements reaching the shelters and watchtowers, the barrier strengthening, and cultivators setting out to collect disciples still trapped outside. Most of the monsters back off in the face of powerful spells and go looking for easier prey. It looks like a lot of the monsters are turning on each other most of the time. There's just so many of them. Some of them also just hide. A significant number of them have clearly been starved or whipped into a frenzy, but the other monsters are clearly more of a threat to them and demand more attention than some squishy human teenagers. A lot of these horrifying creatures were never meant to exist in the same space, or these horrifying creatures actually share environments, don't actually get to prey on human cultivators all that often. And Shang Chenghua is grateful for once that the system set up an ecosystem and a food chain for them all. It's kind of a bloodbath in some places. He even gets to watch one of Yang Meng Jun's monsters, a baby burrowing eel dragon, maybe? Yeah, whatever it is, that super ugly thing with too many teeth and one too many jaws, ambushes and eats one of the Shung clan demons trying to ambush some fleeing disciples. Ugh, it's really gross. But friendly fire? Okay. If the demon clans aren't going to look out for each other, that's fine. Super fine. This Peak Lord and all his martial siblings have no issue with that invasion management style. Shang Chenghua has left the top floor of the observation tower, with the fancy seating and the snack trays and the nice views. Going down into the tower, where there are cultivators running their networks, including some Onding Peak cultivators and more observation screens. These screens are smaller, and Shang Qinghua suspects that the best crystal projectors went to and have been left on the top floor, but that's not really a problem in his eyes. He doesn't really need to see disciples dying in high definition right now. Every observation screen seems to be chaos or about to break into chaos. Every time Shang Qinghua gets another glimpse of Jue Di Gorge as a whole, more of it seems to be on fire. It's totally an exaggeration to say this, but it's like there's more smoke and burning demonic energy than air out there. Too often, he catches a glimpse of a bright-robed body sprawled over a rock or against a tree, sometimes young, but sometimes not, and one of the observation team cultivators reaches out to alert someone of an injured and unconscious person needing rescue and treatment, only to realize mid-sentence that it's too late to send anyone out there for someone with a see-through hole in their chest where their heart used to be. Shit. It's shit, but they have to prioritize the living here.
Tell sect leader Tao to take a small team 3 watchtowers to the west of him. The wildfire dogs have fixated on that point and won't be turned away. Advise him to search for some form of planted demonic bait.
Yes, Master Shun.
Shelter 13 should drive that flightless iguana bird north to feed the rock-jawed jaguar they've apparently forgotten is coming towards them. Remind them that this problem has not miraculously disappeared.
At once, Master Shun.
Also, remind Shelter 21 of the existence of fire spells when dealing with fanged ice horns. Enlist from the disciples if they must. I see some Zhui Xian Peak and one Jian Peak disciples sheltered there, who would surely prefer to help rather than be offered up as sacrifice due to a one-trick master's failings.
Of course, Master Shun. Shang Qinghua stops chewing his own thumb and calls out, Shush, Yang, Watchtower 14 has caught some brown-tailed spirit leeches on their section of the barrier. They don't have enough people to send out to detach them. If someone doesn't get rid of them, they're going to pop and multiply at a rate that could be a big problem. If the barrier weakens too much, we could lose observation. Peerless Cucumber would have fucking hated pretty much everything about this. Shang Qinghua is glad that someone's eyes are being spared here. But having that kid here now would have been as good as having the internet again.
Sect leader Lin is closest.
Shun Qingqiu snaps back.
Contact him.
Shun Shibo, Shelter 7's area is clear and they're close. Lin Wenjiao calls out.
Have them send a small team then.
Yes, Shibo. Remind them all not to use spells or spiritual attacks, too, Shang Qinghua says. That'll just make them pop faster. Yes, Shifu.
Remind them twice, and perhaps it will penetrate their thick skulls,
Shun Qingqiu says. Yes, Shibo. Shibo, Chen Xuan calls out. There are some weak Jian clan demons who have decided to cut their losses and are trying to get back out through the watchtower that Shifun Jun broke. What should we do? Shun Qingqiu turns his attention to face that problem, while Shang Qinghua turns his attention back to moving the crystallite eagles around to follow the Demon Kings. These OP fuckers keep giving them the shittiest interference. Luckily, the most powerful demons on the hunting grounds have been caught up in battles against some of their most powerful cultivators, so they don't really have time to harass the disciples bunkering down in the shelters. The battles are ridiculously OP. Offensively OP. Shang Qinghua would personally rate these clashes between giants as being somewhere between totally horrifying and utterly terrifying. The fight between Qian Jun and her followers, winged as they are, has swooped and dived and spiraled all over the hunting grounds. The Southern Demon King can't be left alone for a moment, because she has the sharpest eye of anyone out there, and if she loses a shot from that fiery bow of hers at whatever fleeing speck has caught her attention now, the chances of her missing are very, very low. Some unsuspecting Xiaohua temple cultivator climbed on top of a watchtower on the northern side of Juedi Gorge for whatever reason, and Qianjun headshotted him from across the grounds. Luckily, Qi Qingqi and Wang Qingjia seemed to be up to the task of bothering this super sniper bird demon too much for those shooting tricks. Wang Qingjia is no slouch at barriers himself, so he's calmly able to deflect or redirect plenty of Qianjun's shots, and the stone-faced lord of Kuxing Peak has apparently made his main purpose in this fight, getting between those quick-fire shots and any vulnerable targets below. He's on defense. Thank fucking goodness. Qi Qingqi probably isn't a slouch with barriers either, but she's also fast. Holy shit! Shang Qinghua had no idea that his Shimei was that aerodynamic or capable of being that annoying. One of the first things the Lord of Xianshu Peak did was bait Qianjun into shooting her and, by dodging just at the right moment in the right place, get the Southern Demon King to shoot one of her own unsuspecting followers through the heart. The demon tumbled out of the sky instead of Qi Qingqi. Qianjun froze in midair after that happened, and then got so fucking angry that the surge of demonic energy blew out the nearest crystallite eagle. Qi Qingqi has achieved this at least once more since. It's so fucking badass and cool that Shang Qinghua could chew his own arm off out of jealousy. Why are all his martial siblings so much fucking cooler than he is? In the air with them are some Xianshu, Kuxing, and even Bai Chan Peak cultivators, as well as some Huanhua Palace sect masters. Qianjun has managed to shoot down at least half of them, and there goes one more. Hopefully those aren't one-hit kills. Shang Qinghua saw at least one Kuxing Peak cultivator make it to a shelter for medical treatment for the flaming arrow the man got through his shoulder. Luo Fanli and Liu Mingyan, the latter of whom should maybe be in a shelter somewhere, but probably has been made an exception due to being a 21-year-old senior disciple, are in the air over there too. They're working together, deflecting shots the demon takes at the other's back, boxing Qianjun's followers in. Those war goddesses are following their master's example well. Liu Mingyan got one of Qianjun's followers to fly directly into Xiaohua Temple Sect's barrier by making them chase her and then diving at the right moment, pulling so sharply backward on her sword that she flipped and then tucked her arms in and legs together, sword held at her side, shooting face first towards the ground, before flipping back onto her sword and shooting up again. The demon hit the barrier like a bird might hit a glass window. Luo Fanli then finished that winged demon off by slamming into their back, pinning them to the barrier like it was a burning wall, and putting a sword through their neck before kicking off again. The dead demon slid down the barrier a little before finally dropping to the ground. What the fuck does Liu Qingga teach those girls? Unfortunately, it's looking like the winged demons have backed off a little, wary of being kicked into the barrier or something like the others. Luo Fanli and Liu Mingyan will have to find new tricks as they take the fight away from the southern barrier again. Speaking of the Bai Chan war god, Shang Qinghua only has hints for how his brother-in-law's fight is going. There's a huge section of the Western Hunting Ground that's been flooded and, in some cases, drowned in fog. Sometimes the cloud lifts briefly enough for another body to float into view, but they often sink away again. The shelters in that area, 13, 14, and 15, are more or less locked the fuck down due to often not being able to see more than an arm's length in front of their face. Besides those now guarding a shelter or watchtower, most of the Bai Chan Peak cultivators and Tianyi Overlook sect monks who have accompanied these heroes have kept on the edges of Shifeng Jun's new cloud forest. Entering it sure fucking looks like a recipe for instant death. It's better to bait the monsters inside to come out to fight. But Liu Qingge is in the thick of it all, of course. Of fucking course he is. Xi Fengjun brought some of her own followers and allies. Zhang Qinghua has seen marks from at least 3 different demon clans from the smoke and fog, who clearly hitched a ride with her. But she also apparently brought some foggy sword-toothed tigers, which are a variant of the snowy skin that she's wearing. There might also be some cloud-breathing serpent leopards in there. Maybe other things? It's hard to tell the difference between the beasts themselves and Xie Feng Jun's armed followers wearing their skins, slipping in and out of sight like ghosts, their flickering stripes and mist-trailing spots blending in with the shifting, chaotic background. They all seem to like the cover of the fog just fucking fine, and Zhang Qinghua hates that. Xie Fengjun put herself right in front of a camera before. She pretty much fucking posed for them earlier. What happened to that? Why so damn camera shy now? Their best views of Liu Qingge, Fan Yuchen, and Ding Lanfen come when one of the 3 clashes with Xie Fengjun. Then there's a flash that looks like fireworks burst through the clouds, or a heftier, earth-shaking flare of discordant energy that temporarily parts the smoke and fog. If they're lucky, one of the crystal-eyed eagles will see that Liu Qingge is alive and well. Crossing blades with Xie Fengjun while surrounded by other Xie Fengjuns, Zhang Qinghua hopes those are illusions rather than clones. Or maybe they're some of her followers using illusions? They're trading blows so quickly that he can't tell how many blurry limbs they really have anyway. Liu Qingge kicks one Xie Fengjun, and she goes flying backwards, vanishing in a swirl of white and black, and the other Xie Fengjuns disappear. But then Liu Qingge has to whirl around and fight off a pouncing white tiger the size of a rhinoceros with a mouthful of silver knives. Liu Qingge somehow manages to get beside it and underneath it. He casts some forceful lightning-bright spell that blasts the pouncing foggy sword-toothed tiger off to one side, and Fan Yuchen appears out of fucking nowhere to behead the beast. Oh, a tag team effort? An assisted kill? Nice! But then Xie Fengjun is back again, before the head can even land, lunging for Fan Yuchen's back with her curved sword pulled back for an execution, and it looks like she's going to take this hero's head just like she promised she would. Only for Ding Lanfen to jump out of the fog. The female cultivator fearlessly tackles the Western Demon King to save her husband's head. Liu Qingge and Fan Yuchen jump after them. Then the 3 of them are swallowed away again. Ah, surely that fight would look so fucking cool if only they could see what was going on in there. Did someone spend the entire effects budget on smoke machines? If Zhang Qinghua didn't know that Liu Qingge can fight blind, he'd be in a puddle of sweat in overly fancy robes right now. As it stands, he desperately wipes his forehead anyway. The fight against Yang Munjun on the eastern side of Jue Di Gorge is also pretty ugly. The man's burrowing eel dragon is on a rampage, gobbling up everything in its path, mostly other monsters, and he's apparently casually along for the ride, driving with one hand on the wheel, if any. Spells seem to bounce off the burrowing eel dragon's thick skin. Swords barely seem to scratch it without some form of spiritual enhancement. Foliage? Flattened now. Trees? Oh, you mean those splintered logs beneath its belly? Fanged icehorn elk? Ah, you must be talking about that massive frosty carcass being passed back and forth between this Demon King slithering limo of hideous destruction's multiple jaws. Zhang Qinghua thinks he might have seen Wei Qingwei stab both his swords into its fat flesh, only for the blades to go in without ever breaking skin, like stabbing a soft pillow with a pair of spoons. He's a little disappointed that he didn't get to see his Shuxiang's face when this happened. He's sure that Wei Qingwei was making the same face that Zhang Qinghua made watching that. The expression that goes with the thought, holy shit, it's not even stabbable, I give this fight 0 out of 5 stars. -1 out of 5 stars, even. Everything should be stabbable. What the fuck? Now it looks like Wei Qing Wei and the others are slowly developing a plan to counteract this utter bullshit. Shun Qingqiu and Shang Qinghua have been sending a Wanjian peak cultivator back and forth between a shelter and that fight so they can offer suggestions. The phrase, "Do not dare jump down its throat and try to kill it from the inside. Who do you think you are, Liu Qingga?" has been said, or, shouted, at least once here. Of all the cultivators sent to deal with the Eastern Demon King and his horde, all but Xi Zhao Peak Lord Tang Qingling, Lianhe Sect Leader Niu Meiyi, Wan Ting Sect Leader Yu Wenbo are occupied by that massive burrowing eel dragon, or the many, many other slimy, creepy, crawly monsters Yang Meng Jun brought to share with the party. They're not having any better luck dealing with the Eastern Demon King. Yang Meng Jun is vicious with his harpoon on a chain weapon, and he and his biggest pet monster clearly have a theme going on too. Tang Qingling managed to cut off one of Yang Meng Jun's arms early on, which seemed like a good thing. Great job, Tang Shimei. 1 point for the butcher of Xi Zhao Peak. Except that the arm turned into a wiggling carp with teeth and also centipede's legs, and more flopping insect-like things poured out of Yang Meng Jun's arm socket. And then the Eastern Demon King casually regrew the fucking arm? Shang Qinghua knows that they do things differently in the demon realm, but that should not be allowed. No way! Unacceptable! He's putting his foot down as fallen author god of this world. Nuh-uh. Nope, nope, nope. That should be against the rules of something. Anything. Everything. System. Bro! Just watching, he flailed in phantom disgust as Tang Qingling struggled to smack away all those slimy, bitey little shits and had to fight off that arm carp centipede thing. Lin Wenjiao squealed in horror. Even Shun Qingqiu made a scrunched up face of repulsed shock that said, "Absolutely not." Half of Qing Jing Peak's disciples are in a shelter just west of the center of Jue Ti Gorge, Shelter 18, not nearly far enough away from Yang Meng Jun and his rampaging, burrowing eel for Shang Qinghua's comfort. They're not in the path of this battle exactly, but they could be in the Eastern Demon King and his ride's path with just a few twists and turns. Shelter 18 isn't too far from the aerial battle with Qian Jun or Shifeng Jun's Cloud Forest either. All of the center shelters, 6 to the east, 12 to the south, 18 to the west, and 24 to the north, are in an unenviable position. Shelters 1 and 2, the edgemost eastern shelters, have actually been able to send disciples towards the main observation tower. But the emergency shelters in the middle? Forget it! Why did Bingha have to end up in the middle of the damn gorge? Then there's Yue Qingyuan and the Northern Demon King. That fight is all over the place. It is literally all over the fucking place. It's a nightmare. The Northern Demon King's weapon seems to work a lot like Mo Bei Jun's, Shang Qinghua's Mo Bei Jun's, the right Mo Bei Jun's portal abilities. It's not the same. That flashy copycat spear definitely isn't anywhere near as good or cool as Mo Bei Jun's unique shadow-stepping powers, honed through years and years of training, but it's very similar, functionally. The Northern Demon King can use the spear to cut open black gashes in the air to absorb Yue Qingyuan's attacks or to dodge them completely by stepping through them. Yue Qingyuan can't follow him through them. Trying would be super fucking stupid because their sect leader could get stuck there in that squashing, stretching, pulling, freezing cold space between spaces. Even just being next to one of those open tears in space looks horrible. Sometimes cold, howling winds spew out of them. Sometimes they suck away the air like a vacuum, and they're clearly disruptive to spiritual energy either way. They fade away in time, at least. As the fighting moves away from these portals, the cracks in space heal over. Whatever spell this is, it doesn't last forever. But the hunting grounds are now littered with icy scars, wide sections of forest that have been completely frozen over. A previously peaceful-looking river has been turned into a chaotic spiral of tall, jagged spikes of ice. Zhang Chenghua saw one of those portals open near some unwary fire-themed monster that had been chasing some Huanhua Palace sect cultivators through the woods, and it extinguished on the spot. It lost its flames and died right away, just like that. He has no fucking clue how Yue Qingyuan isn't dead. He has even less of an understanding of how Yue Qingyuan is actually managing to hit back. The Northern Demon King might be stepping into those portals to toy with the Changchong Mountain sect leader, suddenly appearing behind Yue Qingyuan or vanishing halfway across Jue Di Gorge with a single step to wreak more havoc, but... The Northern Demon King might also be jumping across the hunting grounds to catch a breath, to occasionally run away, one might say. Yue Qingyuan is relentless. He's fast, often faster than the Northern Demon King, so suddenly jumping behind him is just getting close enough for Yue Qingyuan to strike first. The cold barely seems to touch him. His spiritual energy is strong, keeping him well protected when he can't dodge, and occasionally making him glow so fiercely as he fights off those icy demonic shadows that their sect leader sometimes looks like a falling star shooting across the hunting grounds, chasing the Northern Demon King to the next location. And he's strong enough that when he and the Northern Demon King trade blows, Zhang Chenghua and Shen Qingqiu can sometimes hear it inside the observation tower. It sounds like thunder. It rattles Jue Di Gorge. Holy shit! Big Bro is so fucking OP! May he be nerfed absolutely never! That fight looks exhausting, though, and Zhang Chenghua has to wonder how long Yue Qingyuan and the Northern Demon King can keep it up. Zhang Chenghua can't tell if the Xuanzu sword has been drawn yet. Yue Qingyuan has taken a couple heavy blows, though he's always gotten up again quickly. He knows that Mo Bei Jun's father's health is on the decline because Mo Bei Jun told him so directly.
"My father's hedonism begins to wear on his health,"
Mo Bei Jun said years ago, and Zhang Chenghua knows that this slow drain hasn't improved. For years, Mo Bei Jun has been taking over more and more of his absent and now declining father's responsibilities, and Zhang Chenghua has helped him do it. Mo Bei Jun has been securing his position and getting ready to be king in truth sooner than this author expected. Mo Bei Jun should be more than ready to take in a heavenly demon in exchange for Zhang Chenghua's invaluable support. He's been on the up and up in the demon realm. This ungrateful old demon warrior should be resting in a palace somewhere, letting his son do all the work, not surprise attacking Immortal Alliance conferences. The visuals on this fight are shit. Yue Qingyuan and the Northern Demon King keep blowing out crystallite eagles and the communications network everywhere they go. When Yue Qingyuan and the Northern Demon King enter a new area, Zhang Chenghua has to tell their cultivators to alert everyone immediately and also get the crystallite eagles away from the fight. It's almost easier to keep track of Yue Qingyuan and the Northern Demon King from the top of the observation tower, watching the flares of spiritual and demonic energy spike across the gorge. Whenever there's anything like a pause, the time between when an exhale ends and the next inhale begins, Shen Qingqiu is watching whichever observation screen is closest to Yue Qingyuan and the Northern Demon King.
"The Northern Demon King has a shortness of breath," Shen Qingqiu notes.
"It's his lungs," Zhang Chenghua thinks, despairing about his current position as a secret almost son-in-law of sorts here. Some pulmonary infection or something, caused or made worse by some recreational drug from the south, popular among demon lords, including Jiu Zhongjun. He's gotten even worse at handling the heat, too. Older ice demons always do. Also, Ling Guangjun has been trying to kill him for years, and there's probably been some poison in there, so... Should we try to get someone to tell Zhongmen Shixiong?
No.
Shen Qingqiu answers, turning away again.
He knows. Someone tell Mu Qingfang to prepare for an influx of patients with acid burns. Tian Yi is bringing in some more injured from Shelter 2.
At once!
Have Watchtowers 43 through 45 send help immediately to Shelter 19 to deal with the Ling Clan's brutish sons.
Yes, Master Shen.
Tell sect leader Zhu there are more disciples to collect just north of them.
Yes, Master Shen, right away. Master Shen, sect leader Zhu has been injured and can't move.
Then sect leader Zhu can be left at the shelter. There are healers there. Have the most senior disciple take over instead of seeing to their sect leader's comfort. For the disciples out there are far less comfortable.
Anyway, Shang Qinghua can see the whole field here most of the time. And that's great. Really great. The greatest situation he could probably ask for in a shit show like this. This way, he knows that most of his own disciples are relatively safe at Shelter 8, keeping their heads low to avoid the wrath of Qian Jun and her followers. He saw Duan Tianyu and Yu Qiaonan stationed at Shelter 23, dealing with more fanged ice horns. He knows that Gong Yi Xiao and Duan Tianyu's other students safely made it to Shelter 17, though some of the other Huanhua Palace sect disciples didn't make it with them. One of them flat out ran in the wrong direction, west instead of east, and the boy hasn't been seen since. He can see his nephew right now. Luo Binghe and his martial siblings made it to one of the emergency shelters just fine, and he's acting as a backup guard at the shelter's entrance, which puts him directly in view of the crystal-eyed eagle most of the time. Shang Qinghua could have done without seeing his nephew's face as he rushed forward to help carry a Zhao Hua Temple Sect disciple's body into the shelter, but beggars can't be choosers. He can see his nephew, and that's good. It's also not good. What's not good about it is that his nephew is still here. Shang Qinghua has given the signal. He can feel the steady light of his nephew through the cool stone of the charm linking them all together. His nephew standing in the doorway of a shelter helping other disciples get to safety means that he's in a pretty good position to get mysteriously kidnapped by a suddenly appearing ice demon. It's about as perfect a position as possible here. Except, Mo Beijun isn't answering. Shang Qinghua hasn't seen his Mo Beijun, the right Mo Beijun, anywhere. Every time he thinks he sees a glimpse of the man on the observation screens, it's a different demon. Shuang clan demons, Zhu clan demons. Though most often, it's Mo Beijun's shitty father and that shitty space-tearing copycat spear again. It's kind of, just maybe, beginning to look like Mo Beijun isn't coming. Shang Qinghua's heart really does feel like it's freezing over. What happened to Mo Beijun? System? Bro? He's inwardly cried, only to meet with a cruel and unsurprising silence. Mo Beijun isn't one of the protected characters. Shang Qinghua doesn't like to think about this too much, and it's easy to forget it with how powerful Mo Beijun has become since then. But the system really would have just let 17-year-old Shang Qinghua kill off Mo Beijun's character on the day they met. Mo Beijun isn't invulnerable. Mo Beijun isn't marked as invaluable. The system doesn't consider him an important part of the story. Shang Qinghua has to stop his thoughts there because then his thoughts become a stumbling loop of cold horror and his hands start to shake wildly, and he doesn't fucking know what he's gonna do.
He doesn't want to start crying in the middle of the observation tower, even if he won't be the first person to start. It wasn't supposed to be like this. It's not supposed to be like this. It can't be like this. It just can't be. It's not fair. Where are you, my king? Shang Qinghua thinks. There's no answer. Shang Qinghua startles at a massive, distant rumble. Every single observation screen seems to fuzz or flicker. A huge chunk of them on the western side go black for a moment, and a couple of them don't come on again. What was that? Zhonglin Shixiang isn't...
The Northern Demon King is still on the southern edge of the hunting grounds.
Shen Qingqiu snaps back.
It's Qifeng Jun.
Oh, fuck. Liu Qingge. Shang Qinghua thinks. Bro, don't die now. A view over all of Zhuodi Gorge from the top floor of the observation tower shows them a tall flare of demonic energy still fading away. The clouds of smoke and fog have shifted, stirring up almost like a storm, but they haven't cleared. The nearest watchtowers report sightings of some of Shifeng Jun's followers and monsters, but they slip away again completely. Shelter 15, in the middle of the cloud, has gone totally black. For an excruciating 10 minutes, it looks like they've just lost an entire shelter, just like that, until a crystallite eagle is reattached to the network and communications shakily come through again. Unfortunately, they and all the other shelters nearby also have no idea what's happening in there. The white and black clouds billow and writhe until finally, finally, a figure appears at the edge of the fog. Shang Qinghua slumps in relief. It's Liu Qingge with an injured Fan Yuchen over his shoulder like a sack and Ding Lanfen limping behind him. The Tianyi Overlook cultivators at the shelter cheer at the sight of them, until Liu Qingge visibly gestures for them to shut the fuck up.
Fan Yuchen's not dead.
Liu Qingge's hoarse voice buzzes through the communication system when he comes to speak with them.
But Shifeng Jun has... appeared.
What?
Shifeng Jun has disappeared.
Shen Qingqiu orders the Baichan war god to keep watching for her, and Liu Qingge doesn't argue. Is this a trick of some kind? It looks like it must be a trick of some kind. Obviously, 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 this is some sneaky demonic trick, so that she can come at them from behind when they've let their guard down. But as Liu Qingge drives off another foggy sword-toothed tiger that comes prowling towards Shelter 15, and even flushes out one of Shifeng Jun's followers out of the fog to gut them, the Western Demon King doesn't reappear. Did Liu Shudi tell her about her niece? Shang Qinghua wonders. But he can't exactly ask that in front of everyone else. It would be like shouting, "Hey, look, dirty laundry!" Besides, Liu Qingge is already back in the field, so all messages have to go through other people. And Shang Qinghua doesn't want everyone across the hunting grounds to know the gossip before the day is out. Shang Qinghua is terrified that Shifeng Jun will reappear slightly to the east at Shelter 18. But Luo Binghe continues acting as lookout and treating the disciples that come in without any sign of the Western Demon King. So... Shang Qinghua only really has to worry about how Yangmeng Jun and his burrowing eel have reached the center of the hunting grounds, just barely closer to Shelter 6 at the eastern quadrant of Zhuodi Gorge than any of the others. He's going to worry about the vanished Western Demon King anyway, actually, but there's definitely a more immediate, visible threat to focus on right now. There's another thunderous rumble, a series of them, and the Eastern Demon King also disappears as their eyes and screens go dark. They see a brief flash of him again when the crystallite eagles in that area flicker on,
And then flashes of Tang Qingling and Niu Meiyi chasing him through the twisting ravines. But it's impossible to see what's really going on. Their observation network has apparently gone completely unstable in that area. Soon they lose track of him completely. It looks like he was headed northeast. Yang Mengjun could be doing anything now, and they would have no idea. Which is bad enough, but Yang Mengjun's burrowing eel dragon goes... It goes completely wild in the sudden absence of its master. Shang Qinghua thought this gluttonous monster was destructive before, but its thrashing now seems three times worse. It picks up speed, tail and head smashing recklessly into everything they can reach, and this rampage looks like it's headed directly for the center west emergency shelter, Shelter 18. Oh no, Shang Qinghua whispers. Wei Qingwei and the others have managed to keep this monster from running directly into any of the emergency shelters so far, but now the burrowing eel dragon is too frenzied to be stopped or redirected.
Evacuate the shelter,
Shen Qingqiu says.
Master Shen.
Evacuate the shelter,
Shen Qingqiu repeats coldly.
Send them north, towards Shelter 22. Now, if they don't move, they're going to be crushed.
The cultivators around the observation towers relay the orders, shouting over any squawks or arguments. Shang Qinghua sees the way the entire shelter sits up to attention as the Qin Chao Peak cultivator at the entrance begins shouting. Disciples clumsily jump to their feet. Senior disciples and older cultivators rush forward with solutions for the injured. Someone has to be dragged away from the body of their friend, which has to be left behind. Shen Qingqiu is ordering cultivators from all the nearby shelters, 17 to the west, 22 to the north, and 24 to the east, to fan out slightly to protect the area. Shelter 22's cultivators are to begin clearing a path in order to meet the evacuating disciples and cultivators halfway. Shelter 18 has just barely been emptied of everyone alive when the burrowing eel dragon breaks a series of thin stone formations to get through a pass, then crushes the emergency shelter. They see the abandoned crystallite eagle on the inside suffer the resulting cave-in before it gets destroyed by it. Shang Qinghua hears one of the Anding cultivators here in the observation tower gasp with relief or horror or both. However, now there's a crowd of disciples and cultivators out there in the open, some of whom are seriously injured. There are still so many monsters out there. Courtesy of the Eastern Demon King and Yung Meng Jun himself is still somewhere nearby. The burrowing eel dragon is still loose.
Send Liu Qingge east to fight the burrowing eel dragon,
Shen Qingqiu says.
There's a poison dart porcupine between him and the monster. Kill it and send that down its throat. It can choke on it.
But Shi Feng Jun...
Ding Lan Fun can guard her husband's head if Shi Feng Jun returns.
Shen Qingqiu snaps.
He seemed ready enough to offer his neck before our help was forced on him. Oh, and remind Liu Qingge not to poison himself in the process.
The burrowing eel dragon is continuing southwest, nearly the opposite direction from the fleeing crowds, so Liu Qingge will go that way. Luo Binghe is headed north with everyone else, through the monster-infested hunting grounds. This would be the perfect time for a certain ice demon to swoop in and kidnap the protagonist to the demon realm. Except Mo Beijun isn't here. Shang Qinghua doesn't know where Mo Beijun is right now. He doesn't know. He doesn't know if Mo Beijun will be here. He has to act with the situation he has, not the situation he wishes he had. If you want something done, you have to do it yourself.
Shang Qinghua,
Shen Qingqiu snaps.
See if your people can get the crystallite eagles that Yang Mengjun has been destroying back. We need them.
Good idea. I'll do that right away. Shang Qinghua grabs Lin Wenjiao and drags her off towards a lower floor of the observation tower, where there's more access to their observation and communications networks. There's an Anting Peak cultivator at Shelter 24, he reminds her, and some Boshan Tower cultivators at Shelter 23. They can shoot a strengthening spiritual wire from Watchtower 57 straight through to Shelter 4, and that might recover some of their lost eyes here if they're lucky. I'm going to go see what can be done about strengthening our connection to Shelter 3, maybe add a second wire, to pass on to 4 and 5, Shang Ching Hua lies, before sending his head disciple. Go! Yes, Shifu! Lin Wen Jiao goes down the stairs. Shang Ching Hua goes up again, but only to draw his sword, ditch the purposefully colorful topmost layer of his robes in favor of the muted colors underneath. Then find the nearest window and jump out of it, like he's been itching to do even before all this went to shit. Ah, if he doesn't die this way, Shen Qingqiu is totally going to kill him later. Shang Cheng Hua doesn't tell anyone that he's going, of course, but he does send a signal through the cool carved stone on his person. He sends a series of pulses through the charm that mean, I'm coming for you, get ready. He flies straight for the midway point between Shelter 18 and Shelter 22, which is more than halfway across Jue Di Gorge, keeping just low enough to hopefully avoid the attention of Qian Jun and her followers. Qi Qingqi seems to have that situation pretty well in hand. At this point, not managing to take down the annoying Xianxu Peak Lord will be a severe blow to the Southern Demon King's pride. The flight is fast. Shang Ching Hua's head is thrumming in his ears, but it's taking way too fucking long, too. Being totally blind, totally disconnected for the first time in this conference is a special kind of hell, he thinks. The only thing he can really see happening here, besides the lights of the aerial battle against Qian Jun, is another heavy clash between Yue Qingyuan and the Northern Demon King to the far southwest of the hunting grounds. As he comes desperately closer to his destination, he can see the carnage of the burrowing eel dragon's rampage and a lightning bright flash that he thinks means Liu Qingge has joined the fight. Shang Cheng Hua tells himself that if he just flies fast enough here, then he won't meet any monsters on the way. This is, in hindsight, kind of a ridiculous hope. Something with way too many teeth takes a territorial snap at him from the trees, though the fucker only gets blinded by a flashbang he had at the ready in his hand. Some hotshot demon with a green mark tries to take a pot shot at him. He totally misses with the flashbang he tries to lob back at them, but while they're trying to hit him, they deservedly miss the rockjaw jaguar creeping up on them. He flies so quickly that it feels like he's stripped off the skin of his face, and he coughs with the smoke he's breathing in, but he eventually catches sight of the disciples stumbling through the forest. Oh, he's made it. Now he just has to do everything else. Fuck. Another pulse through the charm says, I'm here. Zhang Cheng Hua follows the link between them, seamlessly joining the stragglers in the crowd as just another cultivator stressed out of his mind. He finds his nephew carrying a pair of Chang Chang Mountain Sect disciples over his shoulders. Luo Binghe looks fine. He looks fine. He looks exhausted, dusted with dirt and speckled with blood, but his forehead is bare and his walk is steady. Not being able to see him on the way here must have taken 10 years off Shang Cheng Hua's life, but his nephew is really fine. Binghe looks up, and Shang Cheng Hua sees open relief break over the young protagonist's face at the sight of him. Uncle, Binghe sighs. Shang Cheng Hua takes one of the unconscious disciples, the larger one from Chongding Peak, off his nephew's shoulders, and slings it over his own. There's no fucking way that his nephew will agree to go without making sure these people he's taken on get to safety. Shang Cheng Hua doesn't think he has it in him to just toss these kids into the bushes and hope for the best either. Definitely not today. Come on, to the next shelter, then we go, Shang Cheng Hua mutters. Uncle, what happened to your friend? Binghe whispers.
I don't know. Come on. I've been waiting. Do you think something happened? I don't know, Xiang Ching Hua repeats hoarsely. Plans changing. Come on.
Thanks to Shen Qingqiu, the path forward has been mostly cleared, and there are cultivators swooping in to make any of the monsters think twice about targeting the evacuees. Xiang Ching Hua has to pause to haul a crying disciple back to her feet again, press another barrier talisman into her hands to convince her to start walking again. Then he has to get another disciple's robes uncaught from some thorny bushes. A third disciple's leg gives out, and Xiang Ching Hua has his sword float so that they can sit on it, pulling them along after him. Bing He does the same thing with a fourth disciple. Xiang Ching Hua used to do this with Bing He when his nephew was young. Liu Qingge did it too. Nothing made a three-year-old Bing He happier than being pulled around Granny Sun's garden on a flying sword, floating not even 2 feet off the ground. That thought makes Xiang Ching Hua think of Luo Jiahui. He promised his sister-in-law that her son would make it out of this. Other plans were vaguely discussed, mostly because Liu Qingge had questions. The man had so many questions. But Xiang Ching Hua never really seriously considered a plan in which Mo Bei Jun didn't come. That really wasn't an option. Mo Bei Jun not coming when Xiang Ching Hua calls for help? How ridiculous. How absurd. In what world would that ever happen? Mo Bei Jun is a man of his word. Mo Bei Jun made him a promise, and it's important to the man not to make promises lightly. So Mo Bei Jun had to mean it. The man doesn't say things that he doesn't mean. Xiang Ching Hua can't bear to directly touch the thought that Mo Bei Jun isn't coming because he can't. Xiang Ching Hua can't even bear to look at the tiny, terrible, persistently intrusive thought that Mo Bei Jun maybe isn't coming because he's decided against it. No, it has to be the first terrible option. It has to be. Xiang Ching Hua and his nephew bring up the rear of the evacuation to Shelter 22, ducking the crystallized eagles. He paid attention to exactly where those are located. They hand off the disciples they're carrying to the waiting cultivators just outside. Then Xiang Ching Hua excuses them to the busy guards at the shelter door by claiming there's a straggler left. They'll be right back. The chaos here is enough that no one really gives them a second look, as Xiang Ching Hua and his nephew slip away from safety. It's not lost on Xiang Ching Hua that the protagonist's extended presence could be severely detrimental to this emergency shelter, too. Coincidence? Fuck you, system bro, you piece of shit. Xiang Ching Hua isn't hanging around to see another and watch the eternal abyss open in Shelter 22 or some shit. If he waits any longer, that will happen. He feels terrifyingly certain of it. Xiang Ching Hua and Luo Bingha take to their swords and head north. His nephew's expression is dubious, clearly reluctant to leave his martial siblings behind like this and go crashing off into the forest on their own. Uncle, what happens now? Bingha demands. I break us through the barrier and you go straight to Madame Liu's house, Xiang Ching Hua answers. The people there will recognize you and hide you. Stay there until someone comes to get you. Why don't I just... No. I could just stay at another shelter and... Not happening. If I return to the main observation tower, where Shen Qingqiu is, Xiang Ching Hua thinks, he'll kill us both in an instant. No. Bing He, you promised to go when I said go. We're going. But have you considered that the demons and demonic beasts might be attracted to you more than the others? Xiang Ching Hua blurts out desperately. When I say it's not safe for you or them to stay there, I really mean it. This isn't a joke. You promised to go, so keep your damn promise. Bing He clearly hadn't considered this possibility before. He looks horrified. Xiang Ching Hua could hate himself for putting the idea in his nephew's head, but he needs to be efficient about this. The plan has changed. Xiang Ching Hua isn't keen on this changed plan either, but this is what's happening now. The rare teleportation talismans and such convenient exit strategies don't work inside Xiao Hua Temple Sect's barrier. This was an attempt to stop people from getting in, but Xiangqing Hua didn't step into Jue Di Gorge without being certain that he could get out whenever he wanted. The cultivation world tried its best, but Mobei Jun's powers and the Northern Demon King's shitty spear work along different, more OP lines. Used the right way, the cool charm against Xiangqing Hua's skin and the one hidden under Bingha's robes will disrupt the barrier just long enough for one person to slip out. If they fail, Xiangqing Hua has other options ready. Uncertain of the reliability of Xiangqing Hua's demon connections, even though he was begrudgingly trying to be supportive at Luo Jiahui's request, Liu Qingge offered the possibility of his parents sheltering Luo Bingha. Xiangqing Hua was so fucking certain that this wouldn't be necessary, so much so that he invited them to Chenqiao Peak to be with their daughter-in-law. But he's clinging to it now. Liu Qingge's parents don't know that their adoptive son is half-demon, but they do know that Luo Bingha might show up at their house at some point for shelter. Xiangqing Hua is prepared to bust Luo Fan Li out of here at the first opportunity so she can go help their nephew hide there. He doesn't trust or like this plan, honestly. He wished that the other plan had happened. A smooth and easy switch. The relatively short distance between them and the other side of the barrier seems so far, and Xiangqing Hua is certain that something is going to happen, but he promised Luo Jiahui. He has to try. He can't keep waiting. He still spends the entire journey pathetically calling through the charm.